Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Meriwether and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. Find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I think we've got a fun topic to kick things off here on this edition of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp. BetOnline has put out some odds to make the college football playoff. Now, we should be clear here for a moment that this is not to win the national championship, just be one of the final four teams. In a lot of ways, I think that odds for the playoff are a little bit more instructive than odds for the national championship. Part of that is just because by the time you get to the Final Four, you have a national semifinal game, a national championship game, two games that you have to win against even competition, or in some cases pull a slight upset to be able to win. And there's a, I hate to say it this way, but a degree of luck associated with like actually going from the playoff to the national champion. So sometimes it's a little easier to project who kind of emerges as a playoff team more so than it is to project who wins the playoff once we're down to the Final Four. From that standpoint, there's some good news for Georgia fans, but maybe more so than anything else, just some interesting data to kind of give you an idea of where the dogs are projected here before the start of the season. Now, I realize, as I mentioned these gambling odds, there are a lot of people who listen to me right now that don't place bets. You know, you don't bet on Georgia won the national championship or really to any kind of game. You're just not interested in sports betting. I understand there's a portion of our audience who feels that way, but please understand that when I share these betting odds with you, this is not so much given to you from the standpoint of I expect you to go out and bet these numbers or something like that. I mean, it's right now most of the casinos are closed anyway, I guess. But the point here is that I've said this a million times, that the people who kind of run the sports betting community, they're forced to put their money where their mouth is. They can't be like me sitting here in this dark, dingy closet in my basement, sort of spouting hot takes into a microphone. There's very little tangible punishment one way or another for what I get right, for what I get wrong. However, if you're a, you know, a gambling guy, if you're a sports book director, something along those lines, the thing that you put out there, you have to back that up. People are going to make a wager one way or another on the basis of the line that you put out. You are literally putting your money where your mouth is. So from that standpoint, I kind of find it pretty interesting. And when you look at Georgia, who is right now 1.5 to 1 to make the college football playoff, they are +150 according to BetOnline. I think that number in itself kind of gives us about five things that we need to pay close attention to in terms of the projections of Georgia by smart people who set these numbers, who set these lines. Five things to be paying attention to here as we sit in the strangest offseason we've ever sat through. Let me start with this. Even at +150, 1.5 to 1 to make the college football playoff, Georgia is still just second best in the SEC. Alabama is a slightly more likely team to make the playoff than miss it. They have a minus number, which makes them a favorite to make the college football playoff. They, along with Clemson, Ohio State, kind of have that distinction. So even after all that Kirby Smart has done in terms of generating the revenue, we'll talk more about that later on this week, and in terms of maintaining that status as an elite recruiting program and the games won on the field, even with all of that, there is still a degree to which Alabama is just really tough to topple, which is one of the things that makes this upcoming September's game in Tuscaloosa all the more important. It's a chance to, on the field, demonstrate what we've all at least believed was a possibility of taking place, that Kirby Smart really has put together the kind of program that can catch up to Alabama and eventually eclipse the Crimson Tide. But we've always known that eventually this was going to have to happen on the field. And the best chance to do that, the best time to do that would be this upcoming September. But as other numbers have indicated to us as well, even with Georgia working to close the gap and working to make up ground on the Crimson Tide, there is still just the belief out there that this is still a better program, Alabama compared to Georgia. And Kirby Smart will have his chance to change that narrative when these two teams play in September. What's it going to take to get that done? Well, Kirby Smart's been dealing with that question now for a couple of years. You want to go back to last offseason for a moment, on the heels of having lost to Georgia having lost Alabama at the end of the 2017 season in that year's national championship game, or at the end of the 2018 season in that year's SEC championship game, the need to get over the hump with a team like Alabama was something that Kirby Smart has been pressed on and faced with. And at the time, around this time a year or so ago, Smart did speak about that. Here's what he said then.
You talk about a hump, you think about the little things that you can do better, the details, whether it's turnover, create turnovers. There's so many statistics that we can improve in that it's hard to pinpoint just one thing. I'm certainly excited about this team. I'm excited about the guys we got coming back. I love their work ethic. I love the spring we had, and I'm just excited to be able to coach them.
Put aside for a moment the fact that he was excited about the team. He's addressing the 2019 team when he says that. It's really the first part of that clip that's the most interesting, that, hey, there are little things that have to be done. Smarts enjoy saying, what is it, the benefit of aggregate gains or something like that, basically small improvements in a number of areas leading to a better outcome. And against an opponent like Alabama, that's probably true. Obviously, avoiding turnovers, finding a way to get yourself a couple makes a big difference. But really, over the long haul, it's also about doing a lot of the little things well. So when Georgia gets a chance to do that in September, we'll see if that's a test that Bulldogs are indeed ready to pass. Now, I've been clear about this. I think Georgia beats Alabama in September, beats them again in December. And for the most part, at that point in time, the Alabama mystique will be over and done, and Nick Saban's coaching career could very well be over and done as well. So that's my prediction, but that's also easy for me to say. As the national folks would tell you, including the betting public right here, you still got to go out and kind of get that done. So that's the first thing to know about where Georgia stands in terms of its possibility of making the college football playoff right now. Not the most likely SEC team to do so. Here's the second thing to know. In terms of all the teams in the country, Georgia is fifth most likely to make the college football playoff. I mentioned a moment ago that Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson all have minus numbers next to their name. That means they are more likely to make the playoff than miss it, according to Bet Online. Georgia is also bested in the odds by Oklahoma. Georgia stands at plus 150. Oklahoma stands right now at plus 125, which is ironic given the fact that we actually talked about the Sooners on this show just a couple of days ago. I'm of the belief that this could be a step back year for Oklahoma. For the first time in a while, it's not a transfer quarterback working that Sooners offense. Lincoln Riley's had success with guys like Baker Mayfield, originally at Texas Tech. Kyler Murray, originally Texas A&M. Even Jalen Hurts coming over from Alabama had a pretty good year for the Crimson, or I should say for the Sooners last year. Transfer quarterbacks have become pretty common, and success with those guys pretty commonplace for head coach Lincoln Riley there at Oklahoma. But this year, it's a homegrown talent. It's a guy, Spencer Rattler, a former five-star, I'll grant you that, but someone who spent last season watching Jalen Hurts. Is he ready? Is he going to match the productivity that the previous quarterbacks have been able to match, especially given the fact that Trey Sermon has left the program and decided to go to Ohio State for his final season? To say nothing of the fact the Sooners' defense hasn't gotten much better in recent years, and as I pointed out from a statistical standpoint of the day, the Bear Chris Felica is letting us know that Oklahoma was like 7-1 in games last season by a touchdown or less, decided by a touchdown or less. That kind of propensity to win close games doesn't typically roll over year over year. There's usually a give back on that the following year or over the course of the next couple of years, and that's another reason to be a little bit skeptical of Oklahoma. So keep that in mind. However, the third thing to know is that, as I said before, if you look at Alabama, if you look at Ohio State, if you look at Clemson, there is still that perceived gap between that trio and Georgia, maybe with good reason. All, you know, Clemson and Ohio State were both in the college football playoff last year. Alabama has a couple of recent head-to-head wins versus Georgia. You got to give those programs credit for all of that. But as you get ready to play this upcoming season, Georgia will do so among the top in the country in terms of most likely to make the college football playoff, but still facing a bit of a perception gap with the teams rated above it. Two more quick points to get to here before we kind of wrap this up. The fourth thing to know about Georgia's college football playoff odds is, and this is where the news I think gets fun and somewhat interesting, you know, if you read a lot of columnists, you know, if you listen to a lot of blowhards on the radio, if you just check in on message boards and the average fan, one of the, I guess, talking points of the offseason thus far has been that Florida's closing the gap on Georgia, and Florida's about to maybe do to Georgia what Georgia's trying to do to Alabama, which is catch up to it and then overtake it. There are going to be some people who are going to pick Florida to win the SEC East this season. And in fact, Dan Mullen himself seems to think the gap has closed between Georgia and Florida after last year's game, decided by a touchdown, dogs the winner there. After the game, Mullen was asked about coming up short against UGA again and what he thinks and perceives the gap to be between those two programs. And Mullen seemed to, you know, he seemed to feel like he was kind of drawing closer to the dogs. Here's what Mullen said then.
Dan, Georgia's kind of been the standard in the SEC East the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Two cracks at them now. Overall, you've done great against rivals, but this one's eluded you so far.
Mm-hmm.
How close do you feel Florida is to reaching their level as a program?
7 points.
Do you use this game as a measuring stick for where you guys are at overall?
No, we're 7 points behind Georgia. I know that.
So Mullen says, hey, man, 7 points is all we are away from the Georgia Bulldogs. And there's some people around the media world of the SEC who seemingly kind of agree with that. But it's interesting to note here on these Bet Online numbers, and I'll make sure I put a link to the odds themselves when I post the podcast later on today at theworldfamousdognation.com. It's interesting to point out there that that's not exactly where the betting public feels about this. Bet Online is the example here. I mentioned before that Georgia's plus 150 to make the college football playoff. Florida's at plus 350. It may not sound like a huge difference, but really Florida's odds are a lot more, I guess, in common with a team like Texas A&M than it is with a team like Georgia. And we see examples of this within the betting public a lot where, once again, if you're just some guy that's sort of spouting an opinion, it's easy to say Florida's going to overtake Georgia or Florida's going to put a scare in Georgia. However, typically the betting public who has something at stake if it's wrong, typically the betting public hasn't been quite as big a believer in the Gators, and there's another example of this here. Now, one final thing to note about these odds from Bet Online, if you're curious about Georgia to win it all, doing more than just making the college football playoff, dogs odds listed at 9-1 right now. So if you're a Georgia fan, there's a good news and bad news to all of this. The good news is on the list of teams that can win a national championship, Georgia is solidly mentioned amongst them, and the odds of Georgia doing that are really pretty good. However, the bad news, or maybe to say better, frustrating news from UGA fans is the overall projection to begin this season is very much what it's been the last couple of years. Georgia very close to the top, trailing only a small number of teams and hoping that this year is the year in which they get over the hump. That's a familiar storyline for Georgia, and maybe 2020 is the year when all of that actually does come to pass. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, and we're presented today by Merriweather and Tharp. It is great to have you with us. I want to thank my friends from Merriweather and Tharp for making it all possible. You know, the divorce process can be scary and confusing, and this time in which there's a lot of scary and confusing things happening in the world, I'm sure that only accentuates that even more. Well, it's all the more reason why you want to have an advocate on your side, someone who's been through this process thousands of times, to allow you to benefit from that institutional expertise, that knowledge, that track record for success. You can put that to work for you when you reach out to my friends at Merriweather and Tharp. You do not want to go this alone. And Merriweather and Tharp is your source for Georgia divorce. You can find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. That website, once again, is theatlantadivorceteam.com. And you can check out some free resources they have available to you, and you can set up a free consultation to sort of get the ball rolling and then put them to work. And they can rebuild your life, make you whole again, and restore your finances and relationship with your children and everything else. Merriweather and Tharp is just a really, really important advocate as you kind of go through all of that. So please find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. That's theatlantadivorceteam.com. And you can check out my friends at Merriweather and Tharp, your source for Georgia divorce. All right, it's a version of Dog Nation Daily today. I'm going to have later on more of these odds to make the college football playoff. I'll look a little deeper at some of the SEC teams and their chances to be able to do that. That's fun. But for now, let's get ready to talk to Mike Griffith. And Mike, who has had some interesting stuff coming up here at DogNation.com as of late, dealing with the draft status for guys like Jake Fromm and Andrew Thomas and DeAndre Swift. Where do the experts that cover the NFL draft project these guys right now? We'll talk to Mike about that. We'll talk to him about just the, I guess, sense of, is it okay to remain optimistic that the college football season is going to take place this year, as it has for every year of my lifetime and your lifetime as well? Spoiler alert for me, I think optimism is absolutely the right feeling there, and Mike can kind of weigh in on some of that too. And we'll discuss the challenge of a program like Georgia trying to deal with some of this right now. So we'll do all of that coming up. It's great to have you with us. It's Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp, and hope you enjoy Mike Griffith right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp, good to get a chance to check in with Mike Griffith, not on his normal day of Wednesday, but on Thursday here today. Mike, I guess this time of the year, given everything that's going on, there's lots of weird things going on. You on a Thursday instead of a Wednesday may not be the weirdest, but it's good to have you on the show nonetheless.
Thanks, B. I appreciate it.
So I've been enjoying a lot of the stuff you've been writing at DogNation.com as of late, and I don't know if you feel the same way that I do, but the fact that the NFL draft is seemingly still going on as planned, at least for right now. That's Roger Goodell's intention, even though some of the GMs seemingly don't want to do that. Boy, it's been really nice to be able to have those, you know, whether it be quotes from Mel Kiper or just general draft chatter and rumor mill, stuff like that. I think a lot of us would be going crazy right now if we didn't have something that felt like sports. And the NFL offseason with free agency and the draft and everything else is probably about as close to that as we're going to get right now.
Yeah, I'd agree. And, you know, leave it to the NFL. I mean, that's a massive game, let's face it. And really, it's what we're all pointing towards, right? We're pointing towards football season. The NFL is something I think everybody watches at least a little bit. You know, certainly the Super Bowl ratings would attest to that. But I would agree with you. You know, I think the draft talk has been healthy, probably getting more attention than ever because there's nothing else going on. Maybe much to the chagrin of Jake Fromm, who, you know, people just can't seem to stop talking about, whether it's on social media or just, you know, even ESPN. I mean, Jake is quite the polarizing figure, it would seem.
What do you make about that? I mean, I've been reading some of that, whether it be some of the things the Kiper said or, you know, Daniel Jeremiah as well. Those are probably two of the, I guess, more renowned experts. And I think it's safe to say as of now, they don't have a very favorable opinion of Fromm, at least if I'm reading it correctly. What do you make of where things kind of stand with Fromm and, in some cases, harsh evaluation that he's kind of gotten through this pre-draft process?
You know, all it takes is one team to like you. You know, Tim Tebow, I believe, was a first-round pick. And, you know, I think Jake is a more polished quarterback than Tebow was in many respects. You know, and in some respects, he doesn't measure up. I mean, let's face it, when you put him to the eye test and you have him stand next to Jacob Eason and throw next to him, he doesn't have as strong as arm. He's not as tall or as big. But, you know, what Jake has is you know, the tangibles. And everybody, you know, starts counting those off. I mean, Jake is an incredible processor. You know, when I was at the NFL Combine BA and I talked to the Baylor guys about Jake and about the offense, they said, yeah, here's what made him different. He doesn't have to look to the sideline for the play. He can do the pre-snap read. So you don't have time as a defense to adjust. I mean, Jake already has an NFL brain. Most of these quarterbacks do not. Most of them will take time to learn offenses and struggle. Jake has that computer chip, and he's great at the pre-snap read. Part of the reason he doesn't get sacked, not just because of the offensive line, because he sees the pressure coming. He gets rid of it quickly. He's very accurate. He has a very low interception ratio. Now, he doesn't have the big cannon, but he's not going to get you in trouble with bad throws. So there's a lot of great things about Jake Fromm that, you know, the trained eye is aware of. You know, but for those that just looked at what he did at the combine and the 40 time, I mean, that's the low-hanging fruit. Okay, he's not as athletic and his arms are not as strong. But, you know, Tom Brady didn't exactly win the beauty contest either.
I also noticed something that you wrote the other day, which I thought was a pretty good point, that by not having interviews, by not having pro days, things along those lines, I think it's hurting probably a lot of players. I think the NFL rosters one way or another will end up looking different because of the pre-draft evaluation process being so different this year. And you kind of pointed out maybe of all the guys that are impacted by this, Fromm would maybe be pretty prominent on that list just simply because, as you said before, you know, he's not going to be a combine warrior as it is. I mean, that's just kind of the fact of the matter that Fromm was going to rely on some of the face-to-face contact to win some people over. And as of right now, face-to-face contact is pretty well prohibited.
Yeah, it is. But I will say this. You know, I did that. I don't know if you remember that charity, the Bruce Arians Golf Scramble charity every July. And I went to that the last 2 years. And one guy that absolutely loved Jake Fromm was Bruce Arians. And Tampa Bay is looking to get a backup quarterback. And there's a lot of speculation that Jake Fromm might be that guy. And wouldn't that be something for him to be the understudy to Tom Brady? Now, that doesn't mean he's going to win 6 Super Bowls, much less one. I'm not convinced Tampa Bay is going to take flight. I'm not quite sure about this whole Tom Brady thing. This finishing legend trades never seem to work well. I don't seem to remember Joe Namath doing much with the Rams or Johnny Unitas with the Chargers, and I don't expect much from Tom Brady with the Bucks. I could be bucking the trend there, no pun intended. But I do think that the teams that like Jake know they like Jake. I think New Orleans knows that he would fit their system. I think Tampa Bay knows he would fit their system. He may have impressed Matt Rhule enough to be getting a look at Carolina. I mean, Matt Rhule had to go up against him. And holy cow, did they have to make some halftime adjustments, right? So I think Jake will land in the first two or three rounds, and you just never know, though. As I said, my ultimate takeaway is all it takes is one team to really like you.
You mentioned the Tampa Bay Bucks. I also thought it was kind of interesting in the Mel Kiper availability that you were part of the other day that I guess all of a sudden now DeAndre Swift is a possibility of the Bucks, I believe, at number 14 overall, which is
right.
A good bit higher than where previous mock drafts have kind of had him. And I think that's obviously, great news. I love Swift. I'd love to see him go as high in the draft as he possibly could. It is interesting to see the chatter, and we should point out that all of this is just chatter. I mean, ultimately, the decisions that count will be the ones made by the NFL GMs come April. But the fact that, at certain points in time, we've seen him near the back end of the first round, some people even suggesting he could potentially fall to the second if the cards didn't go in his favor. And yet, all of a sudden now, a respected analyst like Kiper has him in the first half of the first round. That's a pretty nice little jump here for Swift as of late.
Yeah, and the thing that's got to be frustrating for DeAndre is that it really comes down to need. And there's really only two teams with a high priority on running back need, and it's Tampa Bay and Miami. He's the first running back off the board. There's very little debate about that. It's just where does the first running back off the board go these days? And, there's quite a contrast between that and offensive tackle, where we got Andrew Thomas, who could be the fourth offensive tackle picked and still go in the first half of the first round. Whereas the top running back may not go till the second round. So it's really more of a need situation, a positional thing. Now, I will say this, BA, and some people have disagreed with me, but I trust my eyes. I didn't think the 4.48 was good for Swift. I think he's faster than that. I think he has game speed. I know he's faster than Chubb and Michelle, but those are some big guys there. And for him to run 3/10 faster, that doesn't impress me. I expected DeAndre to be a high 4.3, low 4.4 guy, and I think he is. That's why I don't know who his speed coach is that was celebrating that, because I thought he could run a 4.48, in the middle of the night after waking up. So I didn't think that was a great time for DeAndre. I think if he would have run a high 4.3 or a low 4.41, I think that would have definitely locked him in and made one of those teams sit up and take more notice. I think a tenth of a second does matter at running back. I think he's faster than what he ran is my bottom line. And I think if you turn the tape on and watch him get those corners, I just think it's that apparent.
I hesitate to bring up this next topic because I think it can potentially veer into unhelpful speculation, but it's hard to deny, Mike. There's been a little bit of anxiety creeping into the college football world over the last couple of days of, oh my gosh, what if there is no season? Now, I personally believe that most of this is coming from uninformed sources. Not to say that I know for sure the season is going to take place, but I think some of the anxiety that has fueled some of this is coming from people who are just thinking out loud and don't really know any better. So that's right. Obviously my opinion on this, but what do you think about the potential concern that somehow come August 1st, we're not talking about practices, and come September 1st, we're not talking about the start of games as we've kind of come to know them? Where do you think all this stands as of right now?
Well, I mean, obviously, people want to consider worst-case scenario, right? I mean, that's part of anybody's job in risk management. And as a journalist, right, you want to consider all the possibilities and what if this and what is that. My take's a little bit different, though, BA. I'll admit this. I'm going to put it out there up front. I'm a former military guy, so know this about me. I'm a very mission-oriented person. Right now, I'm locked. My brain is locked into a very positive mindset. Our country was founded on people that fought through a lot worse things than this. And I don't want to undersell this. I don't want to make light of this. But the United States has been through some incredible challenges throughout its growth and development, and unfortunate wars and lives lost. And this is an invisible. This is an invisible enemy. This is a different conflict that we're dealing with. But I don't believe our country is going to allow this to take us down. I do think at some point there's going to be some tough and hard decisions made, and I don't believe that we're going to be talking about a country that's still quarantined come football season. I don't know. You can take what you want out of that, BA. I wasn't trying to get political with you, but I wanted to lead you to my logic and my mentality, and I want to be upfront with people and let you know that this is how I think. I'm going to think positive, and so I'm going to believe it. I'm going to think positive.
Well, just to be clear, I have no idea what the health situation in the country is going to look like a few months from now, because I'm just not smart enough to be able to to, you know, make educated guesses about that. You know, however, I do still believe that's a good ways away. We're talking about months into the future, and a lot can change for the better over the course of months. I guess that's kind of my point. And to add to that, Mike, I'll echo, and it's not very often in conversation with you and me, that I'll say I agree with Florida Athletic Director Scott Strickland on something, but I do agree with something that Strickland said recently, which is if somehow there were no football, that's got ramifications for all of college athletics, because it's essentially the football programs that pay for the other sports. So there'd be a lot of universities, athletic departments out there that would have a hard time fielding a lot of other teams if they couldn't play football during the fall. Now, that's no, and I know you agree with me on this, that's no trade-off for the health of our society. I get all of that, but this is a very, very high-stakes decision. And, you know, ultimately, I think optimism has been one of the guiding principles of my life as well on every single thing that I've ever, you know, done or achieved. In this particular case, I really don't think it's super helpful for, you know, a lot of people to be putting it out there of, hey, we may not be able to do this come fall, or you got to, you know, you prepare for the possibility that's not going to happen. I don't know what the future's going to look like, but sort of spending a lot of time speaking about worst-case scenarios, like, I just think it has a tendency to sort of poison the public and put us into a malaise that makes it harder to do kind of the hard things we need to do now to keep everybody healthy.
Well, you're right, and there's a lot of dynamics to this, BA. I mean, there's the sheer dynamic of the outbreak of the coronavirus, but then there's also an economical chart that you've got to look at. And I know that there's been a lot of discussion about it. Look, if the economy comes to, if it gets bad enough economically, it's going to hurt us in other areas from a health perspective. There'll be a domino effect that would hurt our society in many, many, many other ways that would afflict many, many other people. And so, at some point you've got to strike a balance. And certainly right now, there's an edict out there, groups of 10, no gathering. I mean, people need to take this serious, okay? Sometimes I feel like there's not enough people to take these things seriously. Sometimes young people may be a little bullheaded and stubborn, that maybe haven't been through crisis in their lives and don't have the life experience of the older people. But we need to take these things seriously now. An ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure. Because at some point there's going to be hard decisions where the workforce will engage again full steam, and it has to happen. So it's checks and balances. Certainly everybody wants to mitigate losses and wants to do everything they can to protect the health, but there's going to come a point where this country will move forward. It absolutely will. There is no alternative. As we used to say in the 82nd, failure is not an option.
Well, I think it's been nice to see a lot of the college football coaches. As much as I've joked about some of these PSAs, the fact that they're taking the lead on this, I think, is a really good thing. Let me bring this back to football before I let you go. I thought ESPN had a good story quoting a lot of coaches about how they're handling this right now and a lot of remote meetings and things like that. Yet the one thing I keep coming back to is even for coaches that we would think of as strict disciplinarians and, very impressive architects of a very organized program, the fact of the matter is, it's really hard to provide a level of accountability for your players right now. You can send them workouts. They can show you on Instagram that they're doing them. But the truth is, that's a small window into what a full day looks like. And I think that all of these coaches have some justifiable anxiety right now, apart from the health thing that's going on. But when you talk about football, I think there's some justifiable anxiety right now of, how are we sure what these guys are doing when we're not watching them?
Yeah, the Georgia players better look up in the sky. That Kirby copter probably circling before long. You might have the long-range binoculars out to see how many women they're doing at their field.
That's a pretty good idea.
It's been awful quiet.
You can maintain some social distancing from the air. That's actually not a bad idea. I wouldn't put it past him, Mike. I really wouldn't.
He's leaning out the window with the megaphone. I can see it, but he's Kirby's been awful quiet. I'll say this. Now, Nick Saban, I don't know where in the world he goes and what fountain of youth he drinks out of, but you saw the same PSA I did. He looks like he's 10 years younger. But Kirby's up to something. When Kirby's quiet, because remember, the last time Kirby was quiet was the Sugar Bowl prep. There was a lot going on behind them closed doors. We didn't know it until they opened up that can of whoop, on Baylor. And we said, holy cow, this UGA team is back, right? Matt Luke is something. And when Kirby's quiet, something's going on in the lab. We've seen Todd Hartley make some public appearances. We've seen Matt Luke. Monty Rice, who's no friend, not a fan of the cameras, even done one, which tells you everything And to me, that's a really good sign. And I think you struck upon a very good point here. You know, so much is always said about it's what you're doing when the lights aren't on. And somewhere else, there's somebody working harder than you. We're going to find out just how bought in these Georgia football players are. I think they're very bought in. I think Georgia will be a team that will come back very strong. I'm on the record. I've said it. I'll say it on your show, too. I think this is Georgia's year to win it all. I absolutely do. And these circumstances, if these players are taking care of their business, and we don't know, you're right, but if these players take care of their business, all things are equal, the break actually, Georgia is set up to handle the break and the lack of spring better than other programs because of that defense and that experience coming back. Because these other programs, they're not going to have time to get that offensive choreography down. Georgia was going to have to be simple anyway. 80% of this offense is going to go through Jamie Newman on RPOs. There ain't going to be a whole lot of bells and whistles. Now, they may run some motions and things like that, but that playbook ain't going to be real thick because you've got to get those freshman receivers involved and those new offensive linemen on board. So this is going to hurt other teams more than it will hurt Georgia, in my opinion.
Well, Mike, it's great to get a chance to talk to you. I look forward to reading a bunch from you at dognation.com. We appreciate you pumping out that content, keeping us connected to the football world, even during a time in which we're pretty much absent from all of sports. It's been nice to see those posts showing up at the site at dognation.com, and we'll look forward to getting a chance to speak to you soon.
Look forward to it, B.A. Thanks.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Always nice to get a chance to talk to Mike Griffith here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp. We really appreciate his time. And by the way, we appreciate your time as well. We know you're busy or just living a different kind of life than you're used to living. And the fact that you've chosen to continue to make Dog Nation Daily, presented by Merriweather and Tharp, part of your routine is an incredible honor for us. And it's one that we take seriously. Hopefully, we're making good use of your time and keeping you entertained during all of this. I'll also give a quick shout out to my friends at Kroger here, who are also doing some great work in the community right now. And boy, you never want to take it for granted, right? When you walk into a store and you see well-stocked shelves, you see clean shopping carts, you see staff on hand who are working really hard to make the shopping experience as pleasant as it can be. And folks at Kroger really knocking it out of the park. In addition to that, they're also making some hours available Mondays through Thursday from 7 to 8 a.m. For people who have, you know, greater sensibilities or sensitivity, I guess the right way to say that, greater sensitivity to the coronavirus. People who are 60 or older, or as the CDC defines as being at a greater risk for coronavirus, from 7 to 8 a.m. Monday through Thursday, Kroger's got the extra hour of shopping just for you. So you can check out your local Kroger store for a whole lot more on that. As we're doing the SEC through here for a moment, I gave you some of these Bet Online numbers a little earlier. I want to give you a few more of the SEC ones of note, of the ones that can make the college football playoff. So I told you before, Alabama's at minus 125, more likely to make the playoff than miss it. According to Bet Online, Georgia plus 150. That puts Georgia just ahead of LSU at plus 200. Now pause on this for a moment. You know, when you saw Georgia and LSU last season, to be completely frank, and frankly 2018 kind of gave you a little bit of an echo of this too, it did not seem like these two programs were necessarily all that close, nor did it necessarily lead you to believe that Georgia was the better of the two based on two pretty ugly head-to-head losses here in recent years. However, I think that what the Bet Online public is saying here, that listen, a lot of that's on the basis of the quarterback that LSU at the time, Joe Brady. You had Joe Burrow as the quarterback, Joe Brady as the passing game coordinator, and maybe a little bit of a wait-and-see approach on LSU as we head to this upcoming season. I think wait and see, and from that standpoint, probably makes some sense. I've got no problem with LSU being rated behind Georgia in terms of its odds to make the college football playoff. I think the betting community here would also explain that the other issue for LSU is the difficulty of winning the division. You know, it's sort of hard to make an apples-to-apples comparison to Georgia and LSU because LSU has to get past Alabama to make the college football playoff. You would at least theoretically believe, whereas Georgia in September doesn't necessarily have to win that game. It can still win its division and get a chance to play in December and, you know, you can kind of deal with that. So there is a little bit of a difference in between the two schedules. But for the most part, the two toughest games for both teams are the same. Florida and Alabama, LSU and Georgia both play both those teams. So do with that what you will. I also mentioned that Florida's plus 350 right now to make the college football playoff, kind of well behind Georgia, also behind LSU, but ahead of Texas A&M.
which is 4-1 to make the playoff. Then you've got Auburn at 5-1 right now, and Tennessee does make an appearance on this at +1400, which is 14-1 to make the college football playoff if you're interested. A few more of the national teams on here. Notre Dame a little bit better than 3-1. They're at +275. Texas at 4-1. Oregon's at 5-1. That may be worth a look. Really, I think Oregon and Texas both may be worth a look. If I'm down on Oklahoma, then it stands to reason that someone from the Big 12 has a chance to benefit from that. And I think this could be one of those years where Texas has a better opportunity than typical. I'm not trying to be the Texas is back hype guy here, but I think that Texas is at least worth paying a bit of attention to. I'd say the same thing about Oregon. Penn State 6-1 to make the playoff. Michigan 6.5-1. Washington, Wisconsin, both 10-1. Utah's 14-1, as well as Florida State. How in the world is that true? Florida State and Oklahoma State, both 14-1 to make the college football playoff. And as I told you before, Georgia's chances of winning the national championship stand at 9-1 right now. So it's a fun debate. It's a fun discussion. There's really only a small number of true national contenders, it would seem, at least on paper. Oregon out of the Pac-12. You'll throw Penn State and Michigan in that discussion, along with Wisconsin, Ohio State out of the Big Ten. Clemson, the only real legitimate contender out of the ACC. A little bit of a wait-and-see approach on Notre Dame, but these kinds of conversations certainly get me excited and looking forward to the upcoming season, and really, I sort of hope it does the same for you, and we will make that your SEC through. And as we wrap up here today, let me also remind you of my friends at Marlowe's. I had a great opportunity to visit with Marlowe's on Tuesday, pick up some to-go food for my family. They loved that. It's a great time for you to do the same thing. You know, Marlowe's kind of always had a dedicated staff to go, devoted to to-go orders, and that's even more true and more important at a time like this, keeping the restaurants clean, making the process of getting your food to you very easy. They're doing a great job of that. So huge thanks to Marlowe's Tavern. And for now, they're adding 20% to your gift card order. So find out more by going to info@marlowestavern.com for more information on that. I'll also remind you, Gatorator Updater now stands at 1,244 days. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Meriwether and Tharp.